Absolutely. Like you would think that you would want them to do the opposite. That's what I would ask. Remove this from, if you want to show your power, then remove this. Other comments? Okay. At what point were the Israelites excluded from the plagues? Yeah. So, and I know in my chart I have some question marks. It is clear that there's a division that occurs with plague four. There's a couple other plagues where it says, and the Israelites were excluded. I drew a line and said, okay, everything from this beyond was a no. Everything below, before was a yes, even though I have some questions. But it's not called out in the scripture except for a couple plagues. But most people draw a line here, and so plagues four and beyond, that there's a division between the people. And so in Exodus 8:22 it says, I will set apart in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end you may know that I am Yahweh on the earth. I will put a division between my people and your people. I know I've shared this, I'm super interested in, like, what is historical Jewish text view on this? And it seems to be that the prevailing opinion is yes here, but they tend to go back one more plague too. So the historical Jewish texts say that the plagues that the magicians could replicate applied to everyone. And when they couldn't replicate it, the Israelites were separated. And so the traditional Jewish texts move it back to the third one. The gnats wouldn't apply to the Israelites because the magicians couldn't reproduce it. But the text clearly says that four is the situation. There's, and we'll see this a little bit, and I don't know that it's terribly important, other than that God clearly is drawing a line at some point to demonstrate his power, that he can, in an area, cause judgment in a certain section and not in another, and that is, we'll see here in a minute, of great interest to Pharaoh at one point. Questions, comments there, Mike? So the way that I laid it out, and we can talk through this, was that before and after is that this was the division, that after this point the Israelites were excluded from the plagues, it was only on the Egyptians, and so, but with some exceptions, which we will talk about here in a minute. So there's a couple, and let's go to, we'll talk about that when we go through them, because there's the sixth plague has almost similar filtering. And so I don't want to go too terribly deep, but there's this interesting pattern where it happens a couple of times. So the seventh plague clearly calls out, hey, if you put these people, your servants, your animals away, they will be protected from it. But the one just before that all says that only the ones in the field were harmed. And so people would have concluded that the ones that were indoors were safe. And so the following one makes it clear. In the same way, this is the point that the historical Jewish text makes, that God makes it clear in the fourth plague, even though they would have had an indication in the third plague, and we'll see that pattern a couple times. Like the plague ahead of it is like a leading indicator of what's going to happen in the next plague. And so there's some patterns like that. But we can talk more about that. Was there another comment? Scott? Actually, so if the magicians by the gnats are convinced as the finger of God, I wonder if they even had awareness that early on that God is doing things to the magnitude that we cannot, and so that they were picking up on it pretty quickly, and so by the third plague they got it, right? Like this is something beyond what we can do.
The parallel with Simon,
yeah. Yep. That's a great connection. Is there another hand comment? Peyton?
So the whole I will put a division between my people and your people is going to happen a lot in the rest of the Bible. And
yeah.
It happened in Noah's time. I think about when he gives the command and then there's a clear separation of those who got in the ark and those who didn't. There's consequences for those who don't listen. And of course that's going to be a theme in the New Testament as well, that he's trying to create a holy
Yeah.
The world and God.
That's a great connection. Other comments? Okay. Let's fill this in. So we got the first one, water to blood. Remember we have Moses being as to God to Aaron. So God is communicating it seems sometimes to both of them, seems like sometimes to only Moses, but then Moses communicating to Aaron to be the administrator of it. Aaron gives a warning to Pharaoh in the morning. Pharaoh did not listen, and this one it's 7-day duration. So then the next plague was frogs. Who administered that? Aaron. This seems to make sense. It seems to make sense in that Moses went to God in the burning bush, said he was concerned, and so God gave him Aaron. But we're going to see a shift in that. And if you completed the at least part of the homework, you saw that shift. Warning, yes or no? Yeah, I had that. Pharaoh was warned. What was Pharaoh's response? Yeah. Yep. And so I realized that as I was going through this, which Pharaoh's response may have been difficult, but I was shooting for that initial one. So he initially says, I will let them go. Do we know time of day? No, don't know time of day. Israel impacted, so again, I tended towards yes, they were impacted. And then duration, I lend towards the short duration here. We know it at least was a day. So what's interesting here, who decided when the plague ended? Yeah, Moses put that in Pharaoh's hand. Does it seem like Moses had knowledge of what God was wanting here? Like how long God wanted the plague to go? So Moses put it in Pharaoh's hands. Pharaoh decided what he wanted. He decided on tomorrow. I don't know why he wouldn't today. But, yeah.
Is this maybe part of that parallel of, you know, when God tells Moses, I will make you like God in Pharaoh's eyes, that he's delegating a level of authority to Moses, that Moses isn't necessarily having to check these things with God. God's just giving him the judgment and the authority to carry out judgment in these types of matters.
Yeah, I that's exactly where I was going, and to the extent that is the time frame really relevant, and so you can have some latitude. God is wanting to demonstrate his power, and he has done that, and whether it lasts one day or 3 weeks, God's not done. So this is just one of them, and so there seems to be some latitude, because the way that it's framed up is, it says that Yahweh did according to the word of Moses. And so Pharaoh asks for tomorrow. Moses then goes and prays to God and says, take this away tomorrow. And Yahweh did that. And what did they do with the frogs? Yeah, they put them into piles, and I love the web says it stank, and you can imagine it did not smell good. Any other comments on the judgment to the frogs? That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great call out. Other comments? Okay. So with Judgment 3, the text of the World English Bible calls it lice. So I think of it as gnats, and I don't even know if that's actually a gnat, but little bugs. Like 3 and 4 are insects. So it's a little bug. The text isn't clear on whether it's lice or gnats, but small bugs. 4 is bigger bugs, and most use flies, but gnats come from the dust, and the dust, if you think about dust coming, like dust is just the quantity, it's just insane, right? Like, so who administers the gnats? Aaron. And I may come back to that in a minute for the pattern. Was Pharaoh warned? Yeah, definitely not verbally. It appears that it was probably within his sight, which we'll see here. What's Pharaoh's response? Yeah, he has no response to it. Time of day? Was there a time? I didn't have a time for this one. It was possible I missed. Did someone catch a time of day? I had no time of day. And then Israel impacted. So I tended towards the division in with the plague, but as we talked about before. And then 1 day. So And we talked about how this one felt different to the magicians, that they couldn't replicate it. At this point, it felt like the finger of God to them. And that had zero impact on Pharaoh. Like, here's this. It's interesting when the magicians do what Pharaoh wants in proving that Moses or Aaron aren't anything special, that he aligns with the magicians. Okay, yep, they can do it too. I'm going to brush you away. But the moment, and so he trusts their counsel when it aligns with what he wants to think. But when their feedback, their wisdom, their abilities don't align with Pharaoh wants, that he doesn't weigh that opinion with them. That's bad form. And we should consider, are we taking counsel from people that only aligns with what we think?
Hey,
yeah.
Question about Pharaoh's response. Are you wanting to call out like a subtle difference in his response between the first and the third? Because I was kind of seeing them as being...
You mean because he doesn't let them go?
Just the wording that's used in chapter 7, verse 22, and chapter 8, verse 19 is about the same. When he says, "But Pharaoh's heart grew hard and did not need them," just as the Lord had said. I wasn't sure if there was some difference in his response.
Maybe more beyond just the hardening, I guess, is where I was. So I feel like he's hardened every time. In some capacity, and so in one, it calls out he did not listen, like it's not a quote from him, and two, he directly says, "I will not let them go." And so where are you at? Eight.
Eight, verse 19.
He did not listen to them. Yeah, no, I wasn't trying to call out the pattern here, but
okay.
Yeah, you're right that I should have did not listen, just like I did in one. That's
okay.
A good call.
So kind of back to a couple of classes ago where you walk through Pharaoh hardening or God hardening. Like there is a distinct difference, very distinct in the plays leading up to the boils, because that says Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart. The others are Pharaoh had choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Anthony's right. I should have did not listen here also. Okay. Plague four. What's plague four? I already said flies. I actually think that is a fly. Who administered the flies? Yeah, the Lord, Yahweh did. And so we see a shift. It's not Aaron, it's not Moses. Was Pharaoh warned? Yeah. I had that he was. What's Pharaoh's response? Yeah, so he says, similar to two, "I will let you go." It's kind of that quick initial response. Time of day? Morning. Israel impacted? No, this is where that division occurs. So that's my division sign on the note. And then I had the short period of time of one day. Why was Israel set apart? What was the purpose of setting Israel apart? Anthony?
Yahweh wanted to make his name known, and he was trying to create a distinction. These are my people versus your people. Like he's going to battle against Pharaoh here.
Yeah. And I think that would have been powerful to the Israelites in addition to the Egyptians. And so God is bolstering both parties up in this. So with four, though, it shifts a little bit, and that there's, it's like Pharaoh gives a little hope. There's a bartering that happens. Pharaoh says, go sacrifice, go do your thing. But what is Moses, why does Moses not accept that offer? Jeff?
Pharaoh first says sacrifice for the land.
Yep.
So he's really at first not saying you can go. He's saying, sacrifice here. Then Moses says it would be an abomination to do so.
Yeah. So there's this, let's make a deal. You want to sacrifice, do it here. Moses is like, nope, abomination. And Moses calls out something about Pharaoh. He's concerned that Pharaoh is going to continue to deal with them how? Yeah, deceitfully. And so Moses is getting a little bold here, and makes it clear that, I mean, if you're in a bartering situation with Pharaoh, Moses stands his ground. He's like, what you're offering me is not what God is asking you to do. Like, we're not going to do this. And if you continue to say you're going to deal to let us go, don't stop that. Stop dealing deceitfully with us and trying to deceive us and letting us go. Other comments? Garrett? So that's a good segue. I'm going to read, because I want to call out that pattern. So let me read the next section of text, and then we'll dive into that. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and tell him, 'This is what Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and hold them still, behold, Yahweh's hand is on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. It will be a very grievous pestilence. Yahweh will make distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, and nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Yahweh appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow Yahweh shall do this thing in the land. Yahweh did that thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, no one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not so much as one of the livestock of the Israelites dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was stubborn, and he did not let the people go. Yahweh said to Moses and to Aaron, take handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it towards the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become small dust over the land of Egypt, and it shall be boils and blisters breaking out on man and animal all throughout the land of Egypt. They took the ash of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up towards the sky, and it became boils and blisters breaking out on man and animal. The Egyptians couldn't stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and all the Egyptians. Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he didn't listen to them, as Yahweh had spoken to Moses. Yahweh said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and tell him, this is what Pharaoh, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues against your heart, against your officials, and against your people, that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For now I have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this cause I've made you stand, to show you my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth, because you exalt yourself against my people, that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain, a very grievous hail, such as not been in Egypt since the days it was founded, even until now. Now therefore command all that all of your livestock and all that you have in the field be brought into shelter. The hail will come down on every man and animal that is found in the field and isn't brought home, and they will die. Those who feared Yahweh's word among the servants of Pharaoh made their servants and their livestock flee into the houses. Whoever didn't respect Pharaoh's word left his servants and his livestock in the field. Yahweh said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards the sky, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and on animal, and every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his rod towards the heavens, and Yahweh sent thunder and hail and lightning flashed down to the earth. Yahweh rained hail on the land of Egypt so that there was a very severe hail and lightning mixed with hail, such as has not been in the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. The hail struck throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and animal, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Pharaoh sent and called for Moses, and Aaron said to them, I have sinned this time. Yahweh is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Pray to Yahweh, for there has been enough of mighty thunderings and hail. I will let you go. You shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to you, Yahweh. The thunder shall cease, and there will not be any more hail. And you may know that the earth is Yahweh's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear Yahweh God. The flax and the barley were struck, for the barley had ripened and the flax was blooming. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they had not grown up. Moses went out from the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to Yahweh. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunders had ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. He and his servants, the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the children of Israel go, just as Yahweh had spoken through Moses. So, I thought there was value in, and I know I probably didn't word this well in there, but how does Pharaoh respond when a plague or individual plagues subside? Yeah. So what does that tell us? There are multiple times where he is penitent, and especially in the plague 7, it appears he repents, but the moment the plague is gone, he goes right back to his ways. And so what does that tell us about his repentance? Yeah. And I view this as relevant for us, as a gut check for us, that if the moment our punishment, a discipline subsides, that we return to our own ways, we should check our repentance. And it's harder to, as an adult, to see that, but you see that with children, right? Like, they're doing something wrong, you call them out, they repent, they're maybe a discipline, but when that fades, if they go right back to their old ways, they haven't changed, right? And children like us, we have to continually reinforce, but we should check to see if the discipline, when this discipline subsides, do we return to our old ways? And that should be a gut check for our true repentance. And so I think we see Pharaoh just wanting to get rid of the punishment, the judgment. Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Moses even calls him on the carpet on that with the seventh plague and says, even though he is says he has sinned, he and the people are wicked, and says God, Moses calls him out and says, you do not fear God. You and your people do not fear God yet. Other comments, Peyton? That's a great call. Other comments? Warren?
This makes me think of John the Baptist when the Pharisees and Sadducees come out to him and he's angry with them. They're pretty people's repentance.
Yeah.
You may be acquiescing to what I'm asking you to do, but it's not in your hearts.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good connection, Anthony.
It's also a good lesson about how when I read what Pharaoh says here in verses 27 and 28, it's way more in depth than what David said to Nathan when Nathan confronted him about his sin. And yet, you see a much, much deeper level that, Moses recognizes where his heart is. It's very different than where David's heart was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good connection, too. Why don't we'll stop here. So we'll pick up with 5, 6. We'll pick up with 5 next week. I'll send out lesson 10, but we've got this next class period to finish 5 through 9. So I'll send it out and we can talk through and finish it up next week.